Okay, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1. We began a new series last week, and we're going to be going through the time of the children of Israel between the captivity to the promised land. And so between Egypt and the promised land. And so far we saw that just because we're God's children doesn't mean that life's always going to be easy. And it's been kind of interesting to me. This wasn't planned out, by the way. But our Sunday school class and our sermon series are kind of coinciding. And in a way, I enjoy whenever that happens because it's like I didn't plan it out. But whenever it is a topic like this, it makes me nervous because I know the way the Lord works. And a lot of times if he's focusing on something, if he's trying to teach us something, it means that we're going to be needing it. And so we've been talking about troubles and trials and how to face them. And I say that it kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but it shouldn't, because of the God that we serve. And even with what we looked at in Sunday school, we trust him regardless of what happens, what comes our way. Yeah. But anyway, back on track here. So far, like I said, we saw that just because we're God's children doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Israel went from went to Egypt as welcome guests and soon became enslaved by Egypt because they were perceived as being a threat. So that'd be rough, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And in this world, we're going to have problems. It's part of living here, and it's necessary. But as God's children, we can be sure that he will give purpose to our pain, and that through our problems, we have a partner because he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Right.
And then lastly, we have great promises that will give us confidence now and a hope for the future. And so today we're going to expand on a thought from last week that kind of captured my attention and that I had thought on all week. And it's something that I think stands in our way of growing in our walk with God. It's something that often makes our problems bigger and makes them stick around longer than they have to. And I believe that for many, it's a bigger hindrance than what trials and troubles is. Okay? And if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably something that affected many of us that were here last week as I was dealing with troubles and trials. Okay? And what I'm talking about is comfort. Okay? Because we don't like to be uncomfortable, and I have a feeling whenever I start bringing out troubles and trials and talking about difficult things in our lives, we become uncomfortable, don't we? And so anyway, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We try hard to avoid it, but it's not going to be possible for us to avoid discomfort. Okay? So let's look at Exodus. We're going to read chapter 1, and I know these verses we read last week, but we'll read them again. We're going to start in verse 7 this time, though, and read down through verse 14. It says, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we've had so far together, for the fellowship, for the time in your word, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us now for the next few minutes as we attempt to bring out these truths from your word, Lord. I pray that they would be a help, a blessing, an encouragement to the people here. Help us, Lord, as we know that difficulties and trials is just part of living in this world below. And Lord, help us to have the right perspective. Help us, Lord, to trust you and to walk with you regardless of what comes our way, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to pursue comfort ahead of pursuing you, Lord. We just thank you so much for all that you do. Help me now as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, and amen. I think we can all agree that Israel was familiar with discomfort, right? They knew what it was to have a hard time. If we look back over their history, even up until now, they are constantly hated. They are constantly in wars and in fightings, and we're not going to get into the politics of who's deserving of what, but they are constantly in trouble. They're constantly in difficult positions. But if we go back to the beginning, whenever God called Abraham, he told him to leave his home and his family and to go to a place that he had never been, trusting a God that he had just recently met. We don't find that Abraham had just been trusting God and following God from his youth. He come from Ur of the Chaldees. That was a pagan place, a heathen nation. They worshiped the sun. And so whenever God come to him and said, I am God, and I want you to serve me, and I've got a plan for you, he was trusting in a God that he hadn't previously known, that his family hadn't known. So do you see how that's even more uncomfortable for him? Leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your religious background, leave everything that you ever knew, and go to a land that I will show you. I'm not going to draw out a roadmap. I'm not going to draw out a picture. I'm not going to tell you about it ahead of time. Just trust me. And we talked about in the first service with marriage and troubles amongst husbands and wives. Could you imagine his wife going through all this with him? We focus on Abraham, but she had to follow.
Right.
And I don't envy him as a man coming to his wife and saying, hey, honey, I just heard from God. Which God? Well, the only God that there is, wait a second here. I know this one and this one and this one. No, they're all false gods. What? Well, I need you to pack all the stuff, get the servants ready. I'm going to go out and get all of my cattle and all of my herds ready, and we're going to take off on a journey. Where are we going? I don't know. How long is it going to take? I don't know. Is it far? I don't know. Do they speak our language? I don't know. Probably not. Do you have a house lined up? Nope, we're going to live in tents. Right? And so God was calling him out of a place of comfort into a place of discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tempting for us to prize our comfort over our God.
Yeah.
That our comfort becomes more important than what Christ is. And Abraham could have easily said, nope, I don't accept the assignment. He could have easily said, nope, I don't want to do this. You know, I've got my wife here. I've got my family here. I've got a successful business. I've got houses. I've got land. I think I'll just stay right here. But he didn't do that. He chose discomfort. If we continue to follow, we find his great-grandson, Joseph, had a rough home life.
Yes.
I mean, there was chaos in the home of Jacob.
Yeah.
Him having multiple wives, having children that were constantly fighting. They hated each other. You think you have sibling rivalry? They really had sibling rivalry. His brothers sold him into slavery. Not cool, right? And so he was sold into slavery, and he was still serving God even as a slave. Mm-hmm. Then he was falsely accused. He was thrown in jail. He was forgotten about, right? And throughout all of it, he still did that which was right. He still served God. He still trusted God. He still followed God, even in slavery, even in prison, and all of those things. He continued doing that which was right. Would it have been more comfortable for him to have let go of those things? Would it have been more comfortable for him to just fight against it, for him to try to maintain his innocence? Would it have been more comfortable for him to have lost his integrity? Probably so. But he didn't do those things. And so his uncomfortable path enabled him to rescue his entire family from a famine.
Yes.
And then whenever his family came to Egypt to escape the family, they were looking for comfort, weren't they?
Yeah.
God used their discomfort in slavery to keep them separate, to keep them holy, to keep them apart for himself. Because they came for comfort and they ended up in an uncomfortable place as slaves.
Right.
God chose them to know him and to make him known, not for them to be spoiled and to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great truth that we need to accept for ourselves as well. If we are going to be God's children, we are promised heaven. We are promised eternity. We are promised his presence. We are not promised comfort.
Right.
If we continue following through the nation of Israel, in Exodus, we're going to see just the next couple chapters that God calls Moses from where he's comfortable.
Yes.
He's raised in the palace, right? And God starts working on his heart, giving him sympathy, I guess we could say, for his kinsmen. He starts seeing the situation that the people of Israel are in. He starts seeing the way that they are being oppressed. And he says, I've got to do something about this. He tries in his own power. He kills an Egyptian. And then he has to flee because things are getting uncomfortable. He goes out to Midian. He dwells on the backside of the desert. He gets a wife. He has some children. He becomes a shepherd. And he has a comfortable life for 40 years. Right? And then all of a sudden there is a burning bush one day and God says, I'm calling you out of your comfort to be uncomfortable for a bit.
Yeah.
You've got a life that you're used to. You're an 80-year-old man. You've got your children. You've got your wife. You've got your livelihood. You could just finish out your life in this place doing these things, but I am going to have you to go back to Egypt, to the place that you fled. I'm going to have you face your past. I'm going to have you to stand in front of the most powerful man in the area at that time. I'm going to have you to tell him to do something that he doesn't want to do. Talk about uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use you as a leader to lead out a rebellious and a complaining and a difficult group of people and then take them on a 40-year camping trip. Right? I think I would have stayed with the sheep in the desert. That would have been a lot more comfortable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And so if we continue through the Bible, we'll see many people who had to be made uncomfortable to accomplish the things that made them worthy of being recorded in Scripture.
Yes.
Do you realize that most of the people that we look to in Scripture, most of the examples that we have, the people that I hate to say that we idolize, but that we see as heroes in Scripture are only there in Scripture because they chose the hard road. Because they chose what was uncomfortable whenever they could have remained comfortable. If you think about some of the different ones in Scripture, the Apostle Paul had it made, didn't he? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was regarded by his peers as being excellent in where he was at. He could have been a leader amongst the Pharisees. He could have been wealthy and powerful and well-beloved amongst those who were well-connected. And whenever the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus Road, he says, I have something for you to do. And he even tells him there, you're going to suffer great things for my namesake. Paul's call to the ministry was a call to discomfort. You look at the apostles, almost all of them besides John, died a martyr's death. The call to follow him was a call to discomfort. Right?
Yeah.
And if we look at Jesus, he's the ultimate example of this. He laid aside his glory, left heaven to be born into poverty, be hated and be misunderstood, and be killed so that you and I can have eternal life. He says, I am willing to be extremely uncomfortable so that you may be comforted. Right? Comfort doesn't accomplish much, but boy, we hate to be uncomfortable. Right? Last week, we tried to convey that trials were not something that we were to avoid. And this week, what I'm wanting us to see is that comfort shouldn't be our top priority. Whenever we are making decisions, whenever we are determining our direction in life, our first consideration shouldn't be whether or not we're comfortable. Because we should be desiring to have Christ over our comfort. We should be seeking to please him rather than please his flesh. And so as we go through this, I've just got five brief things, and they are brief, that I want us to consider about our desire for comfort. Okay? So the first thing is just simply the desire that we have for comfort. Okay? The desire for comfort. A soldier desires peace. That's fair, isn't it? The weary desires rest. Those who are in bonds desire freedom. But we live in a time of blessing. Most of us aren't facing war. Most of us aren't facing huge battles. We are not oppressed. We are not in bondage. We are not weary and worn down from the fight. Instead, we have, for the most part, had a life of ease. Now, I'm not belittling any of the problems that we have. We all face problems. But even what we looked at in Sunday school, there are people who have been greatly persecuted, people who have went through enormous difficulties. There are plenty of generations that fought just to be fed, just to have enough food, just to have safety, just to have security, just to keep a roof over their head. And for us, we have plenty. We have more than enough. And we often make ourselves miserable pursuing after comfort. We don't desire freedom. We don't desire arrest or these kind of things. We desire moderation. And if you don't know what I mean, we don't want things to be uncomfortable. We don't want things to be extreme. We want to just kind of float along undisturbed. And I find that's what we are desiring. Most seek comfort. They desire convenience. They want crosses that aren't too heavy. Is that a good way to summarize it? That is our desire. And so whenever we consider the Christian life, of course, Jesus says that we need to count the cost, right? Before we enter into the work, before we become a disciple of his, he says to count the cost. And we're looking ahead and we're saying, okay, I'll follow Jesus as long as it's not difficult. I'll follow Jesus as long as my life goes the way that I want. As long as he will endorse my plans, as long as he will go along with the way that I want things to go, as long as things are predictable, as long as things are simple, as long as things are easy, I'm all for that. We desire comfort. We prioritize comfort. We abhor anything that's going to make us uncomfortable. I'm not advocating for asceticism or for penance. There are those that go out and beat and abuse themselves and cut themselves and that kind of thing, trying to expose themselves to all this pain and all this suffering, thinking that makes them more holy or that makes them more godly. And that's not what I'm advocating for. What I am advocating for is that our number one desire, our number one priority should not be, am I comfortable? We don't want to miss out on the great things because the path to them is uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay? I keep coming back because we're in this series on marriage. I keep coming back to this idea of the marriage relationship because a lot of times things get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's when people bail. Right?
Yeah.
Things get uncomfortable and that's whenever we bail. And if you were just in it for comfort, you're not going to stay in it. And the same thing carries over with our relationship with our children, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with fellow Christians, our relationship with God. If comfort is our top priority, we are going to miss out on so much. There's nothing wrong with wanting comfort, but we need to make sure to put it down the list of priorities. And our top priority should be to be Christ-like. Yes. It should be pleasing our Savior, not pleasing our flesh. Right. Pleasing our Savior, not pleasing our peers,
yes.
Right? Let us desire to be Christ-like and let that far exceed our desire to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Second thing I want us to consider is our definition of comfort. One reason that we have such a strong desire for comfort is because of what we think that it means. Have you ever had a word that you used and you were confident in your use of that word only to find out it meant something completely different than what you thought it did? And if you haven't, you've probably seen it in your children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using a word and it's like, I don't think that means what you think it means, right?
Yeah.
I think it's that way with comfort as well, because we have a perspective, an idea of what we think comfort means, and I think we get it wrong. A lot of times for us, comfort means no struggles,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We want it easy, no opposition, no exertion. We only do it if it isn't too difficult, if we can feel confident in doing it, okay? I want to feel confident. I'm able to do this. I'm able to accomplish. I'm able to knock this out. I'm able to excel in this. Then I'll do it. If I'm not confident in it, I don't want to do it. That's our idea of comfort. If it doesn't take too long or if it doesn't keep us from what we're wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's our idea of comfort. No struggle. For some of us, it means no strife. And there's a difference in this. It means that we don't want to have any rub. We don't want any tension. Mm-hmm. We want acceptance. We want fitting in. Mm-hmm. That's where we're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Whenever everybody likes us, whenever everybody approves of us, then we can be comfortable. We don't like to be the outcast. We don't like to be the oddball. That's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to surround ourselves with people who like us, that think like us, that approve of us, people that are like me and that like me. That's who we want to surround ourselves with. And if we can't do that, for the sake of comfort, a lot of times, we'll change ourselves just to be accepted by them because we want that comfort. So no struggle, no strife, no surprises. No surprises, that's comfort, right? We don't like surprises. I will say, just kind of as a humorous note here, for a long time, Les has had this thing. She likes to surprise people. I'm not meaning like jump out and scare you, but it's like every party, everything that she has, she wants it to be a surprise. She wants to keep things secret, and usually it makes things more difficult. She's like, I'm going to plan a surprise party for somebody. I'm not going to say a name because, you know. I'm going to plan a surprise party. And she gets everything ready, and every step of the way, it's difficult because she's having to make sure that this person doesn't find out, try to get everybody else involved, and trying to get dates at work without letting the And so for me, I don't like surprises. They make me uncomfortable. Okay? So I'll turn that around on myself. Okay? But whenever we talk about comfort, it means no surprises. We want to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know ahead of time. We want to be the master of our fate. We don't want to hand that over to anyone else. We don't want to let anybody else have to have control in our lives. And oftentimes that even means God.
Yeah.
We make plans. And then we make backups in case our plans don't work out. We try to perceive every possible way that things could go right or go wrong and plan for all eventualities. And honestly, we drive ourselves crazy doing that.
Yes.
But I'm getting ahead of myself. We want to have a predictable roadmap for the future. That's what comfort means to us.
Mm-hmm.
It means no change. We want routine. Okay? Even the most impetuous person, even the person who claims that they like surprises, even the person who flies by the seat of their pants, so to speak, still likes routine.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard we're creatures of habit, right?
Yeah.
Because we like things to be predictable. We don't want change. And rather than us being faithful, rather than us be consistent, we like to have our lives be consistent. Our surroundings, our environment, we want things to be consistent rather than us be consistent. And so we are of the mindset, this is what I do. This is the way I do things. I'm happy with the way that things are. I don't want anything to change. And I'm not willing to change. That's comfort, right?
Yes.
In our mindset. It means avoiding discomfort. Right? People will put great effort into trying to avoid discomfort.
Yeah.
And so that makes us subject to every fluctuation, every change that comes our way. We are constantly ducking and weaving everything that comes. And in our effort to be comfortable, we actually make ourselves uncomfortable. We're subject to our ever-fluctuating changes in feelings and in circumstances, and it means that we're not moving toward a goal. I hope you can picture this in your mind like I can, or maybe I don't want you thinking like I do. I don't know. But anyway, we are constantly focusing on trying to prevent problems, trying to anticipate problems, trying to avoid problems that we don't actually have a destination in sight. We are not keeping our eyes on the prize, so to speak. We are keeping our eyes on the horizon for whatever might come our way so we can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our attempt to be comfortable, we give ourselves anxiety. If we be just honest with ourselves. We're not moving toward a goal. We're only trying to maintain our sense of comfort. And so life basically becomes one big unending game of dodgeball. You want to play dodgeball? Yeah. Like chuck the balls out and you're trying to miss it. And if you get hit, you're out of the game. That's what our lives become, is we're just trying to dodge every uncomfortable thing and keep on high alert. And so with that, we have our attempts at comfort. Whenever we prioritize comfort, it means that we are going to also sacrifice peace.
Yes.
So that brings us to our third point today, the danger of comfort. The danger of comfort. We've talked a lot about the discomfort of Israel, right?
Yeah.
But we also have a lot of great lessons about the danger of comfort from Israel and about their times of pursuing comfort and what happened to them in those times. They refused to enter the promised land because they didn't want to have to fight. They got to Kadesh Barnea and God says, I have led you out. I showed you what I did to the nation of Egypt. You have seen the fruit of the land. You've seen that it is a good land and you've seen my work and I've told you I'm going to give it to you. And they're like, we don't trust you. We don't want to fight. We're just going to stay in the wilderness. We're going to return to Egypt because we were more comfortable with what we knew than what we don't know.
Right.
Right. And so they refused because they were seeking comfort. They complained about God's provision and even talked about returning to Egypt because their discomfort made them forget about the even greater discomfort of slavery.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it was bad back then. We were being beat. We were being abused, all those things. But we knew what to expect.
Right.
We were used to that. And not only that, a lot of times we forget about the things that we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
The good old days weren't necessarily that good. They were just old. You had your problems back then as well, but you forget the problems. And so that's what they were doing. Whenever they got into the promised land and defeated the enemies, they became prosperous. Things were going well. They defeated the enemies. They established a kingdom. And whenever all was going well, what happened to the nation of Israel? They turned away from God. And so the Old Testament of the Bible is basically just a record of Israel struggling, putting their trust in God and calling out to him for his help and his deliverance, him helping them and delivering them, them having comfort and having peace, and them turning away from God and becoming more uncomfortable so that they would trust God again. And whenever they trust God, he delivered them and they became comfortable and quit trusting him over and over and over again. So why am I bringing that out? We are constantly seeking after comfort. And then we find comfort sometimes is our greatest enemy, our greatest hindrance, our greatest roadblock. Because while we want to be comfortable, our comfort leads us away from God and causes us to trust in ourselves, to look in our own circumstances rather than looking toward God. And so they fell into all kinds of sin. They fell into all kinds of mess whenever they were comfortable. And so for us, whenever we pursue after comfort, there's going to be several dangers. And by the way, I'm not saying that we want to be uncomfortable. I'm saying that being uncomfortable is not the enemy.
Right.
And being comfortable is not the goal. Okay, so whatever state you're in, we need to be trusting God in it.
Right.
And not let our comfort lead us away from him. And not let our discomfort keep us from following him.
Yes.
And so some of the dangers in pursuing after comfort is compromise, right? Compromise. What are you willing to give up in order to be comfortable? Think about Lot for a minute. Remember Lot in the Old Testament? Lot came out of Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham, was following him, saw Abraham's example, and whenever their herdmen began to fight with one another, Abraham told Lot, choose where you want to live and I'll take whatever you don't take. Mm-hmm. You get the first pick. And it says that he looked on the well-watered plains of Jordan. He chose those even though he knew that the people were wicked. Even though he knew that his family was going to be surrounded by evil and wickedness, he thought that he could escape it because it was going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
There was going to be green pastures. There was going to be civilization, right? Because they had left that in Ur. And he says, my family's going to be happy here. My wife's going to have a place to shop. I'm going to have a place for my sheep to eat. I'm going to be able to become wealthy. Things are going to be good over here in the land of Sodom. He was looking for comfort. And at first, it says that he pitched his tents towards Sodom. He says, it'll be okay. I can live on the outside. I don't have to go over there. I can keep separate from them. But before it was over with, he says, I don't want to keep living in a tent. I don't want to continue living out here under the stars. Instead, I would rather go in and have a nice, sturdy house in the city, in the city walls, not be out here exposed to the environment, not exposed to the enemies. I want to have all of these comforts and protections. And in doing so, he compromised.
Yeah.
And he lost a lot of great things.
Yes.
And I think churches and Christians all over are embracing sin and wickedness and disregarding large parts of Scripture in order to be accepted, in order to draw people in order to be liked, in order to escape some of the criticisms that come their way. And whenever people start talking about Christians and saying, you're against this and you're against that and you're, what are the words that they use? They describe us as bigots, as homophobes, as hateful, as all of these different things, because we hold to a biblical perspective of some of these things. And so there are churches that are embracing what the Bible calls an abomination, embracing sin so that they can be comfortable in the world here, so that they're not going to be criticized by those that we live around. And so we don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to make anyone else feel uncomfortable. And we don't want to offend anyone, so we offend God so as not to offend them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the dangers of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes serving God, sometimes holding a biblical perspective, sometimes living by God's standards means that you are going to be uncomfortable in the world which we live in. And if you value comfort over Christ, you will compromise.
Right.
Another thing about pursuing after our comfort is the idea of conflict. Because we think that pursuing comfort means that we're going to avoid conflict. Have you ever been around someone who hated conflict and tried to stay away from it?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm that way, kind of like conflict avoidant. I don't like to have hard conversations. I don't like to be the one to bring things up. And you know what ends up happening as a result? The conflict stays longer. It gets worse. It breeds under the surface and it festers like a wound. It grows like a cancer that's not dealt with.
Yes.
And that's what happens with conflict. And so whenever we think that it's going to bring us peace, whenever we think that it's going to bring us comfort to try to avoid conflict, it actually causes greater conflict. It makes it stay longer. It makes it increase and get bigger. We think for a minute about a good example in the Bible is David. Okay. David avoided conflict in his family. Whenever there was things going on amongst his sons, whenever Amnon went and raped his sister, he didn't deal with it. He wanted away from the conflict because that is uncomfortable. How do you deal with a situation like that? And so then his other son ended up saying, I'm going to deal with it, and killed his brother. And rather than dealing with Absalom was banished or whatever, but not ever actually dealt with. Absalom ended up bringing a rebellion. And so there's just constant. David says, I don't want conflict. I want comfort. I want to be able to not deal with this. I want out of sight, out of mind. And it caused greater problems. Whenever we are prizing comfort, we are inviting conflict.
Right.
And we're going to cause greater problems than if we would have dealt with it. So your quest for comfort will end in you being more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Ironic, huh? Another danger of pursuing after comfort is complacency.
Yes.
And so we've kind of already looked at this with the nation of Israel. Whenever they were comfortable in the promised land, they became complacent. We have in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, talking about the church at Laodicea. Are you familiar with that one? They were the one that was the lukewarm church. They're the one that was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And they're the one that God said that he would he would that they were either hot or cold, but since they're lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they had grown complacent. They had grown comfortable. They weren't going to be an extreme one way or the other. They weren't going to take a stand for anything. And God says, makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
That's simple enough?
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we desire comfort, we're not going to move for one thing or the other. We're not going to exert ourselves in any way. We're not going to push for anything. We're not going to take a stand for anything. We're not going to try anything. And we're just going to be mediocre. We'll be stuck in that mushy middle. We're going to keep in our rut. We are going to be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Christians are in church for 20 years and never see any growth and never see any fruit.
Yeah.
They prize comfort over Christ.
Yes.
If we consider Moses for a second, I already mentioned him a moment ago, but if we consider Moses for a second, he had a place of comfort and he could have stayed there. He could have been complacent, right?
Mm-hmm.
He could have said, I've already tried to show them I was going to deliver them. I already went and opposed the Egyptian. I already got myself in trouble over there. I've got a good life here, and there's no reason for me to mess it up. There's no reason for me to go back down to Egypt. There's no reason to trouble myself. I'm just going to stay here in Midian. I'm going to stay here with my wife. I'm going to stay here until I die. He could have done that. That's complacency, right? But God said, I have something else for you to do, and that completely changed the story, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you too can stay in Midian.
Yeah.
You can continue your life as a shepherd.
Yeah.
You can continue just floating along. But complacency is not going to bring any kind of growth.
Yes.
It's not going to bear any kind of fruit in your life.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us that God is glorified whenever we bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we think about that church in Laodicea, I think it characterizes the age in which we live. It typifies casual Christianity, and I think that's where many people are. That's not where I want to be at.
Right.
The fourth thing that we see here is the direction for comfort. Direction for comfort. There is a place for comfort, but we need to be looking at it in the right place. We need to be seeking it in the right way. In Psalm 23, verse number 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me."
Mm-hmm.
You think the valley of the shadow of death is a comfortable place?
No. Mm-mm.
But it says that if you're walking through it with Jesus, then he comforts you.
Right?
Right?
Yes.
And so it's not about the circumstances that you're going through, and it's not about managing the circumstances, but it is about managing your relationship with Christ.
Right.
About prioritizing that.
Yes.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God." And then at the end of that verse, it says, "the God of all comfort."
Yes.
God is a God of comfort. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, we look at it in Sunday school, it says, "He shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever," talking about the Holy Spirit. That God is going to be the source of our comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He has given you the Holy Spirit of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
In John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," that he's the one that's going to, let me go ahead and turn over here. John chapter 14. As I said, we already looked at this in Sunday school, but we'll look at it again just for a moment here. But Jesus is telling the disciples, "I'm going to go away." They're upset because they're saying, "We need you here. We need you before us." And in verse number 16, he says, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive." And if we skip down to verses 26 and 27, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, there is a direction that we should be going in if we want comfort.
Yeah.
And that is Christ. We should be relying on his Holy Spirit. We should be seeking his daily sufficient grace.
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it tells us in times that we are troubled that we call out to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in all these verses that I'm reading, there is difficulties, there is trouble, there is discomfort, and it is pointing us each time not to the exit, not to how to avoid it, not to how to get rid of the discomfort, but to the only one that can truly bring us comfort and bring us peace in times that we're uncomfortable.
Yes.
Too often as we pursue peace and comfort, we do it at the expense of our walk with God. We focus on fixing the problem rather than focusing on the problem fixer.
Right.
We seek comfort and we ignore the comforter. We crave peace in a chaotic world, but yet we don't pursue after the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
What we're really trying to do is we're trying to do his job and we do it poorly.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how we can comfort, how we can get peace without the one who actually gives it.
Yeah.
In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the part that we always forget there is we forget that we have to come unto him.
Yes.
I want peace. I want comfort. I want rest. And so we pursue it in every other avenue besides him.
Yeah.
And then whenever we do have times of peace and comfort, we do like the children of Israel, and we disregard God because things are good. We treat him like our spare tire. We only take him out when we need him. My challenge for you is to pursue after a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
Put him first, not putting comfort or peace first.
Yes.
And if you do that, if you put him first, you'll find comfort and peace regardless of where you're at on the journey.
Yeah.
But if you fail to pursue after Jesus, if you fail to put him as your first priority, I doubt you're going to have much comfort or much peace.
Yes.
That's the choice that we have to make.
Yes.
So lastly, I just want to bring up briefly that we have a destination of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a desire for peace, I think that tells us that our heart and our mind, our soul knows and craves and wants the peace that we have lost.
Mm-hmm.
We are designed to have a relationship with God. We are designed to be in his presence. We are designed to be in a state of comfort and of peace. That's what the Garden of Eden is. That's what we abandoned back then. But that's also what Christ promised to all those who have placed their faith in him.
Yes.
And so we have a destination of peace. If you're a Christian here today, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, and because of him your sins are forgiven, then heaven will be your home. We have a destination of peace. You won't have to pursue after it. You're not going to have to desire it. We're going to exist in it eternally. It is a place of no sickness, no pain, no sorrow, no death, no fear, no lies, no conflict, no needs, no lack, no devil, no temptation, and no end. Now that is great comfort, isn't it? Our minds can't fathom such a place, but I can tell you that my heart and my soul craves it.
Yes.
It desires such a place.
Yes.
And I find that on the authority of God's word that one day I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be there for eternity.
Yes.
On the authority of God's word. It's going to be my home. It's going to be wonderful. But until then, I'm going to keep trusting the one and serving the one that is preparing that place and taking care of me here. I'm going to be seeking my peace and my comfort in him rather than trying to game the system to bring it myself. And so my question for you today, where do you look for comfort? Is he your source of comfort? Do you have that destination of peace assured to you? Do you know that whenever you close your eyes in death one of these days, that heaven is going to be your home? Because if you don't, you can.
Right.
And so if you've not trusted in Christ alone for salvation, if you are not trusting in him alone, if you are still trying to obtain peace, to comfort yourself by your good works, by your religiosity, by whatever, you can have the ultimate comfort, the ultimate peace, knowing your soul is saved, your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home, and you will be comforted eternally.
Yes.
If you call out to him and put your faith in him today. And if you've done that, I challenge you, continue trusting in him. Continue looking to him for comfort, because only he can bring it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you so much, Lord, for these things that we see in your word, Lord. And Lord, how we recognize, Lord, that you have a higher purpose, a higher calling for us, Lord. Just like the children of Israel, you didn't call them to comfort. You called them to yourself, Lord. And help us, Lord, as Christians, Lord, that we would prioritize you above all things and trust you to bring us comfort, to bring us peace, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that is uncomfortable, if there's one here that lacks peace, if there's one here that's trying and seeking and just struggling right now in trials and tribulations, Lord, that they would depend upon you, that they would trust you to bring them through it, Lord, that your grace would be sufficient, Lord, that your comfort would come, not through trying to control the circumstances, but from trusting in you. And Lord, if there's one in here today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that even now they would get that settled, that they would be able to rest in your sufficiency, in your promise, in your provision, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name and amen.